All right. Well, Vince, are you ready for rapid fire?
I am so ready for rapid fire. I'm sure there's going to be some place where you're going to try to get me to go off or get me upset.
You've not taken the bait. You have not taken the bait in the last couple of weeks when I've tried to get you. You've basically gone, nope. I think I telegraph it too much sometimes in my rundown.
This is true. I took the bait, I think, in the pregame show. I mean, because you had some like Angeli questions in there. You know, I think I took the bait a little hard on that one, but
it's okay.
Yeah.
Setting you up. Set it on a tee.
Yeah.
Teed off on it. Fill in the blank. The result of the Purdue game makes you feel blank.
Utterly confused, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, offensively, we've seen three different Notre Dame teams, as I mentioned before, and it's like, will the real Notre Dame please stand up? Like, that's what I want, and I don't know who the real Notre Dame is at this point. Again, it's a game-to-game situation here with Notre Dame and me. My love affair with Notre Dame is at game-to-game right now. And if we see the Notre Dame from week three, and I'm not saying they got to win by 59 points or anything. That's not the point that I'm making. But if we see the same philosophy and we see the same, you know, play calling and personnel and all of that stuff. And obviously I'm talking offense. Defense has been the same. Like they're still didn't play well in week two, but it's still the same defense without Golden. Right. And so I'm just so confused. Like, what are we going to see in week four? I don't know. Hopefully it's a continuation of week three.
Yeah. I would say more optimistic. I feel like though, it is just obvious that seeing these, the results in back-to-back games, this was just not a team that was locked in and focused the way that it needed to be against Northern Illinois. I just feel like what we saw this past Saturday against Purdue is like, I think it just proves that when you come out, as we said, like, and not just beat up a team, like a Big Ten team, not a great, obviously, Big Ten team, but like a team that was pretty good themselves running the ball last year, all that stuff. This is obviously about preparation, focus, those kind of things. And if we see, I won't even say the same result. Like if we at least see a team that's able to come out and win by three or four touchdowns again this Saturday, I will be back on the road to believing that this team can be the team that I thought it was going to be, that we thought it was going to be at the start of the season. Like I'll have a lot more faith in that. And then they'll obviously have to prove it against Louisville. I think that every week there's nothing we can take for granted anymore. And I think that maybe they found that out too. There's nothing they can take for granted. They have to be fully locked in and week out. And so that's what, you know, like I said, more optimistic, but you know, as some of the people like Beefeater is saying, unfulfilled.
That's fair.
Joe says no consistency, just irritated. Like it's more irritating, I think, and somewhat nauseating that they could lose the game against Northern Illinois the way they did after seeing them just beat down Purdue like that Saturday. So Jordan Batelho is going to miss the rest of the season with a knee injury. Here's Marcus Freeman on that.
Impact. Jordan Batelho is a great player. It was playing his best ball since I've been here. You feel awful for the kid. You feel awful for him. But you have to continue to move forward, right? And that's why you have depth and you have guys that are prepared and ready to step up and get the job done.
So, Vince, let me start with this. Just some thoughts on Jordan Batelho's season ending the way that it did.
Just stinks. I mean, he was having his best year, and it's not close. I think, you know, early on in his Notre Dame career, he had some off-the-field issues and couldn't quite get it together on the field. And then, you know, he's been working through all of that kind of stuff, and then he slowly started to kind of figure it out on the field. And then last year as a starter, I mean, it was okay. It wasn't anything fantastic. But this year came out, he kind of reshaped his body a little bit. He, you know, was making plays. And like I said earlier, he was arguably the best defensive lineman that they had right now from a production standpoint, you know, and the only other person in the conversation was Josh Burnham, and he was out with an ankle. So, You know, losing 12 is a big deal. It's a big deal. That's a lot. That is a lot of potential production that they are going to lose out on for sure.
DK asked if he can come back for his sixth season. Should be able to, because it's a medical, and you know, yep. he only played three games, so should be able to get it. I mean, I've seen some talk that the NCAA is even considering like giving 5 years of playing eligibility.
What?
Now, you know, like that's one of the things that they're looking at. Yeah. So it's like, I don't think anything's off the table. He should be able to come back for another year. And like, you can see why, you know, the captains, the guys who wanted to be captains had to nominate themselves during camp. And Botelho was one of the guys who nominated themselves. And I think by the way he was playing, by the way he was carrying himself and doing everything, you can see why he wanted to kind of put himself in that mix. Obviously, I think it proved like the captaincy itself proved to be a little bit too difficult for him, considering sure. five guys from the defense, yeah. whatever it was at five or four, whatever, you know, all those defensive guys ended up being voted captain. But it really does, like, you know, this guy has been criticized and no one wanted to go fully in on this guy for good reason, because there was just so much inconsistent play. So it just really sucks that, you know, he finally got it locked in and then something like this happens three games into the season.
So for Botelho, I just looked at his, you know, resume. Essentially, he's played four straight years and this is his fifth COVID year. His COVID yeah. year. I don't even think they have to apply for a medical because he still gets a red shirt. He hasn't used it yet. So this is, he played less than four games.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't know, because it is like the COVID. I don't know how that.
So you get an extra year because of COVID. Now he's using it as a red shirt. So he can use, I think he's good to go. But at the end of the day, whether it's a medical or a regular, it doesn't matter. He'll have another year. And I would anticipate that he would come back because he doesn't have enough really good film from an extended period of time in order to get drafted where he probably wants to get drafted. So. It'll only make him a sixth year, guys. It won't make him a seventh year. So 6 years, unfortunately, are extremely common. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits, and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one. And I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together, and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1 year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game. You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, Try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare you. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's got to be Wendy's at participating U.S. Wendy's.
So when you look at the Viper position now itself, are you more confident that we're going to see more of Boubacar Traore, or are you concerned because of the lack of depth behind him?
No, I'm actually pretty confident we're going to see more Boubacar Traore, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're going to see more Boubacar Traore.
Yeah, because he's listed as the starter right?
Like, do you have confidence because, okay, now we're going to see Boubacar, or
I got
because
you.
Of the lack of depth, does that concern you more? Like, it's great that we're going to see more Boubacar, but do you have, you know, a bigger concern because of the fact that there's just not much depth left at the position? I keep getting tongue-tied for some reason.
I am not overly concerned about the depth. You know, you've got Boubacar, he's backed up by Junior Tui Alamaka, and then you've got Logan Thomas, who's obviously, you know, an undersized freshman defensive lineman, but he's still long and athletic as all get out. And then on the other side, I think you've got some positional flexibility there with Josh Burnham potentially, or even Bryce Young. So I think you're okay from a depth standpoint. I'm not overly concerned about it. I don't think they were going to redshirt Logan Thomas anyway, even though he's a little undersized right now at 224 pounds, because I think he's on a bunch of special teams. So I don't think that they were going to redshirt him. So he's just now on the three deep. You know what I mean? And so, yes, your depth obviously gets hurt when a guy like Botelho goes down, but I'm not that concerned about it. It just might not be as dynamic as quickly as we want it to be, but I think by the end of the year, they'll be fine.
I'm at least concerned about the depth for the short term, because like you mentioned, Burnham, and you know, like, he's still questionable with an ankle himself, and like, you know, you're still trying to figure out what, and that's what concerns me, I think, most of all, is you've got RJ Oben on the one side with Josh Burnham and Bryce Young, obviously, but Oben has not given you much, and Burnham took most of the snaps against Northern Illinois and played well, then he hurts his ankle, so then you're down to, you know, two guys over on that side. And now on the other side, you know, like, what's Tui Alamaka done so far?
Right.
I definitely don't have a lot of confidence that he can produce there. I do wonder, like, does maybe Snead get some, you know, like more opportunities in passing downs or something like that? Or do you, is that where you want Traore on the field more because of all that athleticism? I guess maybe concern isn't it, but just because you lack some numbers on both sides, like, I think we're all very confident in Traore, but he's not going to be able to go out there and give you 65 snaps a game. Someone's got to take 20 or so snaps off him. And that's what concerns me, I think, the most right now, is like who that's going to be.
It's going to have to be one of these young guys. They're going to have to step up. I mean, that it's going to be one of these guys that we know their names, but, you know, aren't household names yet. One of those guys is going to have to absolutely step up. Somebody mentioned something very interesting in the chat, that if these young guys surpass Botelho this season, do you say goodbye to him and have him go play his final year of eligibility someplace else? It's a possibility you could do that if you see a lot of growth from these young guys in one season. It's definitely possible, but you also have to remember, you have an additional 20 scholarships to give away starting in the fall as well.
Yeah. Everything's so going to look different.
You're not as hamstrung from a count as you were before.
And the other thing is, they're also talking about the only transfer portal window being the December window. They haven't finalized that yet, but there's a good chance the spring transfer portal window is going to go away. So,
true.
You know, like, if you're going to make that decision, whether you're Botelho or anybody else, but like in Botelho's case, a guy who's going to be recovering from a knee surgery, like, to make a decision like that in the middle of December that he's going to go someplace else, that's like, I would think that there would be a greater chance that he comes back. Like, just the fact that he's still here for his fifth year, you know, shows the mindset that he had to begin with. So I would think that he would be back. And, you know, and again, the way they play these guys with the kind of depth and everything else that they want to have, if he can recover and come back, I mean, there's no reason to believe that he couldn't be, you know, just as productive in part of that mix. I mean, you would expect Traore to elevate to the top of that depth chart, but Patelho could still have a very significant role.
Next year, for sure. I personally would want him to stick around because, like you said, at the very least, he provides very, very, very quality depth. At the very least, if not, he returns as a starter.
Yeah. Fill in the blank. The non-starter who impressed you the most against Purdue is blank.
I'm gonna go with Bryce Young. I mean, he had the hit down there on the kickoff, and he did some pretty impressive things. It honestly, it's between him and Boubacar or Urlacher. I think those are the three that I would have to choose from, but I'll go with Bryce Young.
I appreciate you pulling a Jesse and basically just rattling off half the defense.
You're welcome.
With your answer.
You're welcome.
I'm going with Urlacher. That's just going to go. Well, I mean, Traore technically non-starter, but obviously, you know, he basically was a starter once Patelho was hurt, and he made a huge play and all that kind of stuff. But like Urlacher, for a guy that we had not seen before, for him to come out and just be flying around out there, I mean, he comes downhill fast and hard, and like you would expect that, considering that is his last name, and considering he is the son of Brian Urlacher, and just, you know, everything that comes with that, it's kind of hard to tell just watching him out there in the fall when you're buried a little bit on the depth chart. But man, that guy can play football. He was fun to watch. And yeah, Jason, you're exactly right. He was like a missile. I guess the only question that I would have with him is how does he cover? Because like he was coming down hard, coming downhill hard, fast for a safety, but you got to be able to cover back there as well.
And if it wasn't for Urlacher, Purdue doesn't score. So that's why he dropped a little bit for me, but he was also very, very impressive. I mean, very, very impressive. You just can't make a mistake like that.
No. But that's also what late game, you know, that kind of stuff is for, to let those guys get out there, experience it for the first time, a little bit of a learning process for all of them. But it's always fun, you know, to watch a guy like that when he gets to come out for the first time and see him play like that. So Vince's second favorite subject after peanut butter and jelly time is the punter, James Rendell. He has been struggling a bit. Marcus Freeman says they're going to try to do some different things to break him out.
I've spent some time with Coach Biagi just talking about, you know, James is a guy that has so much talent. He can do so many things with the football. And we really have to evaluate what we're asking him to do. And it gets the same thing we talk about offense and defense. Like, as coaches, we know the talent he has. We haven't put it all together in the games. Let's evaluate what we're asking him to do. I know he can punt across the field. I know he can do a spiral punts. I know he can do end-over-end punts. Like, but what we got to do is call the things that he can do in the game. And that's on us as coaches. We got to put him in a better position and ask him to do the things that he does well, get experience, and then we can have him do all these different types of punts. And so we got to get him better in practice. We got to maybe be strategic in how we ask him to punt in practice. Usually in practice you go punt period, right? And that's about all you get. But we're going to probably scatter some punts throughout practice to say, okay, treat this like a game, right? You might be sitting on the sidelines for 20 minutes. Come back in. Now you got to execute. And so we as coaches are looking at ourselves and saying, okay, how can we help this guy with so much talent have success on Saturdays? And so I hope that some of the changes we're going to make in terms of what we ask him to do, how we practice, will help him on Saturday.
So Brian NY coming hard at Marcus Freeman said it's the worst answer of all time. I felt like the first part, like the first half of the answer, I might agree with that, Brian. But I did feel like he came around with that end about like putting in – it sounds like putting him into more game situations in practice is part of their answer. And he just – then I'll let you answer. But he just doesn't look like a guy who is comfortable punting live against a live rush out there.
Well, and look, part of that is coaching, right? I mean, part of that's coaching. There's no doubt about it. You tell me you can't get Kennedy Urlacher and some other guys to rush him during practice. You know, so part of that's on him. The fact that he said, oh, we're going to have him sit on the sideline for 20 minutes. We're just going to have him come in and punt. That might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Look, specialists have to keep themselves motivated. They have to keep themselves ready to go at all times. That's why they have this stupid little net on the side of the on the sideline. Well, you kick into it. You're right. Ready to go.
But there's a difference between a net and guys actually rushing.
I understand
him,
that. You know, but like, is he just sitting on his butt over there on the bench? Just like, just tell me when it's time to go in, guys. Like, what do you mean you got to have him sitting on the sideline to have him like that? That part was dumb to me. What I do agree with is I don't think they're calling the right plays to make him successful. And I also don't think they prepared him for what it's like to be in a game situation. That's on the coaches.
That's how it feels to me.
So like, they do need to fix
need
it.
To work on
yeah,
that.
They do need to fix it.
Because we've talked about it before. This is a guy who comes from Australia. He's not played organized football before. He went to a punting school and learned how to punt. They crank out punters in that pro kick Australia. And that's why he's here. But he hasn't, you know, he hasn't kicked in these kind of stadiums before with what's on the line in these kind of games. And that's, you know, again, like we haven't really, we saw him punt on the very first day of training camp. Right. And we might have seen him put a ball or two in the air after that at some point. I can't remember, you know, if there were, there were very
never
few.
Never when I was but there and I only just missed the first one. So
yeah, it just feels like you got to dial some pressure up on this guy and let him learn what it like. Just get that comfort level with having guys come at you. Cause like when I watch him, it looks like he, you know, when he punched the ball and he's only averaging about 39 yards per kick right now. And there are some balls, like it just feels like he could let some loose sometimes. But it's like his foot is like kicking to the ball, not through the ball. There's not much follow through.
And that's why it's line drive.
Yeah. Exactly. He's not getting that thing up in the air the way it needs to be.
He's not a rugby style punter. Okay. He's not good at it. You just need to let him punt normally and protect him. That's what you need to do. And hopefully they've figured that out through three games. That's clearly the special teams coaches or coach singular. They're overthinking this thing. They're overthinking it. You don't have to have different kinds of punts and different kinds of this. And that you don't need to roll them out. You just let him punt the ball. Just let him punt the ball. There have been numerous opportunities where if he just gets off a big ball, it flips the field. You haven't let him do it. Just kick it, dude. Like you're good. Now I understand if you're on the 50, right? And you need to pooch it in there, cough and kick and all of those different things. Okay, cool. Let's see if he can do those things.
But
for the most part, man, just kick it as far as you can and see what happens.
That day, again, first day of camp, he's punting from around his own 40, 45-yard line, something like that, and he is just dialing them up into the air, and they're all coming down inside the 15-yard line. Those are the punts, these big, towering things with the massive hang time. We haven't seen any hang time from this guy
far. Absolutely.
But again, and it's what you're talking about. Like, if they're really, well, we're calling this and we're calling this, just let him take the snap and boom it away. It doesn't seem like there needs to be a whole lot of thought put into this,
right,
to be quite honest.
And Andrew in the chat is saying it hasn't cost us points yet. You're right. Yet is the key word. Because after the second offensive, this is just an example. After the second offensive drive for Notre Dame, they punt the ball. Purdue gets the ball at the 43, their own 43-yard line. That is really, 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 really good field position. You give that kind of field position to a better team, they will give up points because there's other teams that are better. You can't do that. Another one where Notre Dame only punted a couple times. Offensive possession number four, they punt it. You give the ball to them on the 40-yard line. You can't do that. You had an opportunity to flip the field there, and you're giving them the ball at the 40-yard line. Against better teams, that will absolutely bite you in the backside.
Right. This is something that they need to be working on rather quickly. You know, because again, like if you do end up in a playoff game, for example, or multiple playoff games, it's every possession is going to be
huge. You have to play the field position battle. You have to play it. And if they had to do that right now, I don't know that they could do it. That's the problem.
Yeah. It's just, it's kind of crazy that they're in a situation where they, you know, granted, when your punter decides he's going to transfer at the end of spring, there's not much you can do. And they felt like they had a pretty good solution to it by going and getting this guy. But it just from a, some things need to be refined. You're right. You know, it hasn't been an issue now, but like you said, it's something that's got to be cleaned up over the course of the next few weeks.
Light it.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Urban Meyer. This fall, the game changes. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, and broadcaster Rob Stone as we bring you a new perspective on football and culture every week. We will be joined by the biggest name in sports and talk about everything inside and outside of the lines. Let us guide you through a new era of college football. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Matt Leinart. I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more. We'll give you the behind-the-scenes stories from my days as the quarterback on an iconic college football team to Jerry's days as a star on an iconic TV series. So subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
So Vince, Saturday's game, of course, was 42-0 by halftime and went downhill from Purdue's perspective after that. The NCAA has a rule in place that lets the losing team in a blowout opt to shorten the fourth quarter if they want to. There is no set standard for how much to shorten it. So like three games, apparently, three losing coaches have opted to do this year, and they've all shortened the game by varying amounts. Couple of different questions. Did you know this rule existed? Because I did not.
Nope, sure didn't. I had no idea that you could voluntarily change the end of the game. Like, I had no idea that that was the case. Zero.
I did not, you know, like I said, I did not either. I had never heard of this until it just came up. I think somebody did it Thursday or Friday. There was a game where it happened. So the official rule book says any time during the game, the playing time of any remaining period or periods may be shortened by mutual agreement of the opposing head coaches and the referee. So essentially, the coaches and officials have the freedom to cut the game times off in a blowout situation if they want. But again, there's no actual standard. So my question is, should they just make it an automatic rule, you know, have like a set standard? Okay, instead of 15 minutes, it's going to be an 8-minute fourth quarter or something like that. Or, you know, should they just do what a lot of high schools do? It's like you get to 40 points and now it's a running clock the rest of the way. Like, what do you think?
I honestly, having been on both sides of a butt whooping, I love the running clock. I love it.
Having broadcast several
yes
butt whoopings, the running clock is glorious.
Look, people are upset with some of the things that were said or done or whatever on the broadcast, right? You know, because they were filling in time. Like, that game was over by the start of the second quarter, okay? They were filling, and it's tough to do, first of all. I just want to be very clear on that. It's very tough to do, and they had a whole half to do that. So they're talking about where he went, you know, where Danielson, his dorm was, and where he was. They were off the reservation on a lot of different things, but it's really, really hard. You want to not see that or not hear that? Have a running clock. You know, you'll get through the second half real fast.
Yeah, that's right. I was actually a little impressed with how, like, Purdue handled the situation, you know, like just the way Notre Dame was playing the game and stuff like that. They obviously didn't opt to shorten it, but it just feels like you get to the fourth quarter, you're up by 5+ touchdowns, whatever. Yep. Running clock. Yep. Get it over with.
Yep. Could not agree more.
So a couple of super chats that I wanted to get here. You know, thank you very much, Anthony. We started the show talking a little bit of the announcers. He says, Anthony says, I don't often come to Gary Danielson's aide, but he did say CJ Carr was the future at Notre Dame, and the staff was really excited about him.
Agreed.
So again, you come to his side because he said something nice about Notre Dame.
I know, right? And he said something nice about a former running back at Notre Dame. Oh, he has coffee with him all the time. And all of a sudden, everybody was like, yes, we love him now.
We love Gary Danielson.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
DK, thanks for the super chat. Do you want to take this, Vince? I don't even know.
Like, it's a weird question. It's from DK, and I'm not surprised. I've got a great answer for it, though, because I did see this one come through. It says, Vince, what's the NCAA's take on Siamese twins? Do they count as one player, or does one classify as a defensive end and the other as a defensive tackle? One scholarship or two? Well, that all depends. You generally, with Siamese twins, you have two human beings that are just stuck together. So if they have different names, if they have different grades, if they have different whatever, then they're different people, and that's two scholarships.
Two scholarships.
And I'll leave it at that.
I think that answers that.
Try to keep that as respectful as possible.
Well done. Robert wants to know why the punter decided to transfer at the end of last year.
Pretty sure that was not his decision, the way I understand it. It was a we're ready to move on decision.
Interesting. We're ready to move on, but we don't have a viable option.
Correct, which is really weird to me, but that is what happened, the way I understand it. And by the way, he's averaging 47 yards a punt right now. Just throwing that out there.
Eight more yards than,
I just looked it up. So, and he's got a long of 64. So
Decaf was asking about the Maddie Westbell situation earlier. She announced on her social media this afternoon that she's going to miss at least the start of the season with a foot injury.
Yeah,
she's got a foot injury, so she's going to be out for a while. It, it definitely stinks. Hopefully, it's something that, like, where she's back by at least the middle of the season. You know, that
a conference play would be great if that was the case. You know,
exactly. The one bright spot is they did go out and load up on forwards this offseason. Liza Carlin, the girl or the young lady from Marquette, essentially kind of plays the same position as Westbell. Leah Tu King, another forward, not quite the same, you know, but then obviously you have Kate Koval as well. So, I mean, they beefed up in the front court, so they've got a lot of depth. Just don't want to start seeing any injuries, obviously, but especially this early after what they went through last year with so many of the injuries. But hopefully Maddie is back sooner than later. This will be her fifth year.
Yep.
She's taking advantage of that COVID year coming back. So hopefully things work out.
Yes, I saw that and I was like, ooh, because Maddie has always been one of my favorite players. So I hate to see her being out for any period of time. And, you know, she came in and they relied a lot on her true freshman year. And obviously she's a great player. And I think she's a leader on that team. And so any amount of time that, you know, she's out is not great, but hopefully, you know, it didn't sound like she was going to be out for an extended period of time, just is going to miss the beginning of the season. So hopefully that's the case.
Yes. All right. I was just checking the chat to make sure there wasn't anything that we missed in there. And I think we are clean. We are good. And we are ready to wrap it up. So we will wrap it up with that. And then I'll have to get your off-air story.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the reminder. You were going to tell me
about earlier. Yeah.
So the reminder.
Thinking about that. All right. Appreciate you being here tonight. Hit the like button if you would. And we will talk to you tomorrow when we have plenty more Notre Dame football to talk about on Husky Nation Sports Talk.